Hey,
Brian.
It's good to be back with you again today. The older I get, the more people want to tell me what to do. And they tell me I need to eat better. Go on a diet. So I developed some rules for dieting. This is the first one. If you eat something and no one sees you eat it, it has no calories. If you drink diet soda with candy bars, the calories in the candy bars are canceled out by the diet soda. If you eat with someone who eats more than you, your calories don't count. Movie related food, like Milk Duds, popcorn, nachos, don't have any additional calories because they are part of the entertainment package. So if you follow these rules, you'll lose weight. Trust me. But we do the same thing with our understanding of sin. So here's a rule about sin. If no one sees me doing anything bad, it doesn't count against me. If I do a lot of good, it will cancel out any bad I've done. If the people around me are more sinful than me, I am a saint. If I'm doing something bad just because I'm having a little fun, but nobody gets hurt, it doesn't count against me. See, we make up rules about sin to make us feel better. Just like we make up rules about eating to make us feel better. But the consequences remain the same. The biggest consequence about sin is hell. We can make up rules and change our opinions to make us feel better, but the consequence remains the same. So the question is, does hell really exist? Isn't heaven and hell just stories that we make up? So we make up these stories so our children will behave us? You better behave or you're going to go to hell. Well, Jesus Christ believed in hell. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. He warned people over and over to avoid hell. Jesus sacrificed them on the cross so that we don't have to go to hell. So today, I want to talk to you about the reality of hell. So the first question is, what will hell look like? Luke 16:22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. So the rich man, as we know the story, lived a selfish life, and when he died, he went straight to hell.
So
So the first thing we learn about hell is it is eternal. Matthew 25:46. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteousness to eternal life. Eternal punishment is hell. Our sins will send us to hell. Sin in the Bible is simply disobedience to God. We don't worship Him every day. We don't seek Him. We don't obey His Word. Muslims believe that people, most people, go to hell when they die. But they believe that Allah, if He changes His mind, can pull you out of hell and put you into heaven. If Allah feels like it. But that's not what Jesus teaches. Jesus said hell is eternal punishment. That means when you die, your eternal future is set permanently. It will last for all eternity. So there are no second chances in hell. The second thing we see about hell is it is a place of torment. Someone asked the pastor a question. He said, Pastor, will smoking cigarettes, will that send you to hell? Will that send me to hell? The pastor said no. It'll just make you smell like you've been there. And that's because of Luke 16:23. And just parts of these verses. In hell where he was in torment, and then it talks about how he was in agony in the fire. So he's in agony and he's in torment because he's in the fires of hell. And this is where we get the idea of being fire being in hell. You know, if you've ever been burned, you touch a stove, you pull away right away. Because the flame causes intense pain. And that's part of one of the harshest sufferings we could experience is being burned. So hell is a place of torment and punishment. One of the biggest myths is that hell is just a big party place for people who like to party. There are no parties in hell, just torment. Another myth is that Satan is going to be in charge in hell. That he'll be carrying out pitchfork and sticking people with it. No, hell was originally prepared for Satan and his demons to be punished. Then the third thing we see about hell is it separates you. It is separation from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were driven from the presence of God. Sins keep us from knowing and fellowshipping with God. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. God doesn't want to look at us because we're sinful. It's hard for him to listen to our voices because we're sinful. Today people ask, well, where is God with all this tragedy going on? First it was killer hurricanes. Then we heard a killer earthquake in Mexico. Then that mass shooter in Las Vegas. And then now fires in California. Well, why doesn't God stop the violence? Well, our sins have pushed God away from us. We don't say, God, we need you. We want to work it. We say, God, we don't want you in our life. The inmates are running the asylum. That means the human beings, we can run our lives better than God. And we're doing a bad job. See, we don't realize how good we have it right now. We live in the age of God's grace. God does not punish us immediately for our sin because he wants us to come back to him. He wants us to repent and come home. So he still gives us grace. He gives us gifts. Your life is a gift from God. The air you breathe is a gift from God. When we're separated from God for all eternity, we lose that grace. See, recently my daughter sent me a text. A text from my grandson, Parker. And it said, Parker said you're his best friend.
Parker
Isn't that sweet?
你不觉得很非常的甜美吗?
He loves me.
他爱我。
It couldn't be because I just bought him that toy. He's been wanting a red transformer. And so I gave him this gift. Because we're close, we're together. I can bless them because we're together. See, if we're separated from God, how can we experience His grace anymore? So think about it this way. Am I going to go through my entire life saying I don't need God in my life? I don't want God in my life on earth. I want to do my own thing. Well then why would I want to spend eternity with Him in heaven? Why would I say I want to live without God on earth, but I want to live with God in heaven? See, it doesn't make any sense. If you choose to live without God today, you choose to live without God tomorrow. So, hell is a real place. Okay, our second point is this. Why does hell exist? The concept of hell turns a lot of people off. If God really loves me, how can He send me to hell? How can He send anyone to hell if He is a loving God? I mean, eternal punishment sounds so extreme. It sounds like overkill. Well, there's two reasons. The first one is man is sinful. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The word for sin in the Bible means to fall short. The image is of a person shooting an arrow at a target. But the arrow only goes a few feet and falls way short of the target. And we have fallen short of God's standard for our lives. So we have sinned against God. And it says all have sinned, everyone. It doesn't mean you're a criminal. It doesn't mean you're an evil person. But it does mean you are a sinner. In God's eyes, there's no big sins or little sins. You know, we say, God, I just did a little sin. I just told a lie. I didn't murder anybody. But the worst sin is not murder. I think the worst sin is pride. Because pride leads to all sin. Now Satan tells us a deadly lie. He says, if you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. If you're a really bad person, you'll go to hell. A bad person is someone who has hurt somebody. like murder or some violent crime.
像杀人或是有一些很暴力的,
but if you never hurt anyone, you're good enough.
如果你没有伤害过任何人,
but we know that's a lie in Scripture.
就是在从圣经里面来看,
I know a lot of good non-Christians. I know a lot of non-Christians who are better people than the Christians I know. They are kind and generous. They are loving people. They would die for somebody else. And that's because we're made in the image of God. Even though we're sinners, we are capable of doing good. You know, when you hear the story of that Las Vegas shooting, you see how people can be good. Some people were protecting people with their bodies. They're treating people's wounds. They're driving people to the hospital. Because we're made in the image of God, we can do good. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus said we are not good enough. A man came up to Jesus and said, good teacher. In Mark 10:18, we see the answer Jesus gave. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. The Bible has a very stark view of our human nature. We're the pinnacle of God's creation. And yet we utterly rebelled and rejected God's word in our daily lives. We're deeply affected by sin. See, God doesn't send good people to hell. Because there's no such thing as a good person according to God's standard. God uses His standard, not our standard. So why does hell exist? Man is sinful. On the other side, though, is God is holy. See, God defines what holiness is. He sets the standard, not you or me. God is the final judge. Holiness means God is perfect. He cannot have sin in His presence. He cannot sin Himself. Let's look at Revelation 4:8. Day and night, this is a picture of heaven. Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. See, it's interesting, the angels don't fly around saying, love, love, love. You know, all the songs today are about love. But they sing holy, holy, holy. I looked up on a concordance how many times the word love is used in the Bible. The word love is used 551 times in the Bible. Because God is love. He loves you, He loves me.
And 因为神是爱, 祂爱你也爱我。
But the word holy is used 584 times in the Bible. Because God is holy, holy, holy. So we can't ignore God's holiness. God's holiness is as significant as God's love. First Peter 1:15. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, because I am holy. So God says, be holy, you be holy. Holiness is 100% holy. Holiness is a big deal to God. I'm not holy. I know I'm not. I know some of you too. I know you're not holy either. I'm sorry. See, it's God's standard, not our standard. God does not grade on a curve. I got through college because of the curve. God doesn't rank people on how good they are. And then take the top 10. God doesn't compare you to somebody else and take the best one. We can think that to make us feel better, but it's not what the Bible teaches. God is holy means God is righteous and just. He believes in justice. He will not allow sin to go unpunished. Just as God is love and salvation, God is also holiness and wrath. And the Bible says wrath, God's wrath will come upon us as punishment. When you see the word wrath in the Bible, it means divine punishment. That means God administers justice and settles the score for our sins. But we think, oh, God is salvation. Look at this slide. How many times the word salvation is used in the Bible?
In 122 times.
God loves us, wants to save us from our sins. The word wrath is used 197 times. God is holy. He will not let sin go unpunished. Refusing to believe in God's word does not mean it does not exist. You can say, well, Pastor Terry, that's what you believe, but that's not what I believe. That would be like a skydiver jumping out of a plane, falling to earth. And then he decides he doesn't believe in gravity, so he won't release his chute. He can keep falling and not care. It doesn't mean gravity doesn't exist. Psalm 24:3. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who has clean hands and a pure heart, and does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false? Are your hands clean? My hands are the cleanest hands in existence. Because I use hand sanitizer all the time. I'm a germaphobe, I'll admit it. But they're not clean of sin. I have sin with these hands. Is your heart pure? I know sinful desires lurk in my heart at times. So we must understand we are not good enough no matter how good we are. Look at this slide. I call this a morality ladder. At the top is God, because God is 100% holy. At the bottom is Satan, because he seeks to disobey God all the time. Where do you fall on this ladder? Are you such a good person, you're closer to God? Or are you a bad person, closer to the devil? So where do people fall on the side? Let's look at our next slide. Mother Teresa has done more good than me. She should be really close to the top of the ladder. Hitler and serial killers are at the bottom because they only seek to hurt people. They're pure evil. Where would you put me on the ladder? I think this is the next slide shows where I think I go. I think I'm a pretty good person. Eddie is my brother, so he's not as good as me. See, it doesn't matter where you fall on the ladder. Because you're still short of the glory of God. You're 99.9%, even if you're 99.9% good, you fall short of the glory of God. So how do we make up that difference? Romans 2:5. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who persisted in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he gives eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who rejected the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. You have free will. You can choose to remain a sinner or become a saint of Christ. If you choose to reject God's gift of salvation, there will only be God's wrath and anger waiting for you. Let's look at it this way. You see a person drowning in the water. And you can't swim. But you see a rope with a life preserver on it. So you throw it to this person. They just have to grab it, you can pull them in. But he rejects it, he doesn't want to hold on to it. But you beg him again and again, grab it, I want to save you. But he says no. Does that mean you're being cruel? Does that mean you're being harsh or indifferent? See, Jesus came to save us from our sins. He died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. And God says, grab onto Jesus and I'll save you. If I say no, that is my choice. So the third truth about hell is that God's wrath is satisfied in Christ. See, how does God reconcile His love and His holiness? How does He reconcile His desire to save you from your sins and His desire to punish all sin? God says, I'm going to come up with a plan. I have a plan. He would send His Son to die in our place. If hell was not real, then Jesus would never have had to die on the cross for our sins. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus accepted God's wrath upon Himself. He experienced hell on the cross so you and I don't have to. Redeemed means that Christ paid our sin debt. So God's wrath was poured on Christ on the cross. So His wrath was satisfied in Jesus. That's grace. We don't deserve Jesus dying for us. But God gives it to us. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. I can choose to believe in Jesus and trust in Him. I can choose to reject Jesus and God's wrath will remain on me. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know for certain you have eternal life. No more hoping or wishing for. The mortality rate of every human being in the United States is 100%. So what are your plans for eternity? Many of you have been thinking about making a decision for Jesus. You think to yourself, yeah, I probably should. I'm thinking about it. But I'm going to put it off for now. And you keep putting it off. If you ask someone on the street, do you want to go to heaven or hell, they will say heaven 100% of the time. So why would you take a chance on going to hell? See, you don't want to go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go there. So why not accept the gift of salvation God offers? Eternal life begins today when you know God. See, God just doesn't want to give you eternal life. He also wants to give you a meaningful life on earth. I have a wonderful life today because I know Christ as my Savior and my Lord. So what decision do you need to make? What, maybe you're a Christian, you're already a believer. Will you take what you learned today to share with someone else? When I work tomorrow, they'll say, what'd you do this weekend? And you say, well, this wonderful pastor. He talked about hell. Then you ask them, do you think hell's a real place? You start a conversation. Then after you listen for a while, then you share what you believe about heaven and hell. What we decide today determines our tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can be here today. Worshiping you and knowing you. Listening to your word. And even though today's subject, hell, is not a popular subject, we think of it as bad news. We also know that you have good news. That Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. Father, does someone here today need to make a decision for you? I pray they'll open their heart to you and receive your love and the gift of salvation. I pray that my brothers and sisters will not be afraid to talk about heaven and hell. That we'll share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Which in your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.